Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Brian, thank you very much. Well, the possibility of additional government support for households to deal with energy bills is looking more likely after Minister for Finance Michael McGrath yesterday signalled the inclusion of measures in the budget. Speaking on RT Radio 1's This Week programme, he said that it is an unavoidable cost that households are facing, and that is why I do anticipate that the government will be providing support to households to meet the energy bills in the months ahead. However, it has yet to be decided what mix of measures could be implemented. To talk more about this, I'm joined on the line by Dr. Paul Dean, Senior Research Fellow at UCC. Good morning, Dr. Dean. Can you tell me, do you think that this is going to be necessary next winter now?
Yeah, good morning, Philip. I think it will be necessary, Philip. And look, I think it is the right thing to do. It is a prudent thing to do. And it's also the fair thing to do. As the Minister pointed out, look, we've all faced incredible high energy bills and electricity bills over the last year and a half. Look, and thankfully, we're slowly emerging from this energy crisis. But in many ways, we're not out of the woods yet, Philip. And really, I suppose what the government need to be keeping an eye on is, I suppose, in many ways, planning for the worst, but hoping for the best. Now, in terms of planning for the worst, I think the government did a very good job over the last 18 months. 18 months ago, the annual average electricity bill for a typical family of four, Philip, was about €1,000 a year. Now it's over €2,000 a year, about €2,100 a year. So bills have doubled. Now, they've done a good job in shielding most of us from those excess increases with that €600 credit that we've all received very gratefully and thankfully received, I suppose, over the last number of months. So that, I suppose, has taken a sting for a lot of people out of those very high energy bills. But in terms of, now that's the planning for the worst, I suppose, and hoping for the best. Electricity prices are reducing. We've all heard the news about wholesale electricity prices reducing, but that hasn't yet translated into lower bills for families. Mm-hmm. And I suppose the outlook is for the next number of months as we come out of the autumn, as we head into winter, electricity bills will still remain high. So it's very necessary and needed, I think, Philip, that those emergency support measures remain in place.
The wholesale prices, the latest figures from the CFO show that they are down 36% in June when compared with the same time last year. At what point in time will our bills start to reflect that?
Yeah, and this is a challenge here, Philip, because there's not a lot of transparency within the electricity market sector for data. Look, when I run my own numbers on this, my feeling is that it was as we come out of summer and into autumn, that most electricity supply companies should be in a position to think about offering discounts to customers. Now, it's difficult, Philip, to pinpoint with exact precision at the timing of that, but I can say with a lot of confidence that unfortunately those reductions will be likely very small, something in the region of maybe 10, 15, maybe 20%, you know, small but meaningful, but certainly nothing like the 50 to 100% increases that we've seen over the last 18 months. And look, Philip, unfortunately, the reason why prices are still incredibly high is that last year the prices were exceptionally high. And in many ways, you know, what was shocking about the prices that we saw last year is that how high they went. But in many regards, what was surprising was that electricity retail bills didn't climb as high. So prices went up. For example, if we take 12 months ago, Philip, in August last year, wholesale electricity prices went up by about a factor of 10 over the long-term average. Now, bills only went up for a factor of 2, but that cost hasn't gone away. In fact, that cost has just spread out over a much longer time span. And unfortunately, we're all still paying those very high prices from last year. They're still working their way through the market. They haven't washed out of the market yet, and they're finding their way into our pockets. So, but my view is that as we come out of the summer into autumn, that some companies hopefully will be in a position to start thinking about discounts for their residential customers.
The wild card in this, well, there's two wild cards. One is the war in Ukraine and what happens there, but the other wild card is the weather. And we had a very, very mild winter last year. Things could be an awful lot worse if we have a cold snap, couldn't they?
That's true, Philip. Look, and look, really, as we go into the future, there's two things that will essentially determine the price that we all pay for electricity over the next 12 months. That's the war and it's the weather. Now, from the government's perspective, both of those things are impossible to control. Now, they can manage how we react to it, but a lot of these things are outside of our control. They're outside of our territory. And look, Philip, this just reflects really, I suppose, the fundamentals of energy in Ireland. If we look across the full economy in Ireland, Ireland is one of the most fossil fuel reliant countries in Europe. About 90% of all the energy that we use for our cars, for our heating, for electricity comes from fossil fuel. And last year, the war in Ukraine triggered a terrible energy crisis. But at its core, it was a fossil fuel crisis. So if you're a country that's massively reliant on fossil fuels, the cost that you pay for that reliance is the price that we all see now in our bills. So in many ways, it's outside of our control for the short term. And in the long term, look, as well as offering these protected targeted measures, the government do need to seriously think about accelerating our move away from fossil fuels.
Indeed, the European Commission suggested to that end that all member states try and reduce their gas consumption by 15% so as to wean ourselves off Putin's gas. How did we do in this country on that figure?
We didn't do it at all, Philip. I suppose to get into the technical legality of it is that Ireland was offered a derogation. But look, the reality of it is
But we did say that we would do our best to try and meet that figure, didn't we?
We did. Now, overall, across the course of the year, we actually increased our electricity consumption. We increased our gas consumption. That makes Ireland quite unique. Part of that story was, I suppose, in relation to the significant growth of data centres within the power sector. Ireland is one of the very few countries in Europe, I think it's only one other country who did this, Philip, who actually increased our electricity demand during a time of exceptional electricity prices and energy crisis. But look, it's not fully down to just data centres only. There's a wider story here. But we haven't decoupled our appetite for fossil fuels from our ambition to move away from fossil fuels yet, and that's a real challenge for Ireland.
If it was to be the case that the wholesale price continues to come down, Paul, does the government have any tools in its armoury to compel electricity providers to pass that price on?
They don't, Philip. Look, in many regards, it's a little bit like the supermarket situation, I suppose, with all the big retail markets that we had a month or maybe 2 months ago, where they're all, you know, brought in front of a Dáil committee. But there's very little that the government can do other than, I suppose, keep that political pressure up, keeping the political focus on energy companies. Energy companies, in many ways, it's a little bit like the food market. It's a high volume, low margin market. All they can do really is just keep the political pressure and the media pressure on it, but there's very little they can do in terms of compelling electricity companies to reduce their prices. No, there's things they can do around the peripherals of that. We'll have revenues from windfall tax coming into the Exchequer this year. We have dividends from companies like the ESB. The government really need to be clever and fair in how we use those dividends, particularly in giving the highest level of support to those families on the lowest income, because they're the ones who will probably feel the pinch in this energy crisis a lot harder this autumn and this winter.
So do you think that rather than extending a €200 or even €600 credit to everybody, to all electricity users, that the government is A, able to, and B, should target those payments towards the less well-off?
They should target them, Philip, certainly towards the less well-off. It's very difficult to give this type of protection to everyone. The €600 credit cost the Exchequer over €1 billion last year. And look, not everybody needs that level of protection. Some people in this world, you know, are maybe unaware of what their electricity bill will be from month to month, and others will be dreading the electricity bill as it comes from week to week or month to month. So really, I think there's a strong case to be made for giving the highest level of financial protection to those on the lowest level of income, and again starting with those in receipt of fuel allowance, because when you give that blanket protection measure to everybody, you dilute the level of measure that can go to the families who need it most.
Dr. Paul Dean in UCC, thank you very much. Coming up after the break, Fine Gael and McEntee under pressure over policing.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.